I like knowing someone I can trust, like super duper Lazy Dog Typers, and you should all buy from Lazy Dog. That's all I ask. That's all I ask of you, Gene, is a nonstop commercial.
I don't know about John the Shy. Is he reputable?
He's so shy, you can never find the guy.
I never can find him. And I know the only thing he'll give you is an Erica. Or he's got his little man cave. And somewhere in there, he's got these old machines that get money and then turn around and buy another Erica. Because I think the rule at home is one in, one out. Does that work in most households, the married households?
Oh, my husband doesn't know what I buy. I sneak it in.
How about here?
Doesn't know.
Are you able to sneak yours in?
Yeah, when we parked the car, we were pretty clear where we have our typewriters. There's no sneaking anymore. There's only
two-car garage is now a one-car garage?
two-car garages are now one-car garage.
All right. Well, on that little secret note, we'll start with Austin Typewriter Inc. podcast. Welcome to the Austin Typewriter Inc. podcast. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to listen to our little gab fest. We're just a group of folks who enjoy the heck out of typewriters and welcome you to our table. Sit back and enjoy the show, and away we go. Hey guys, Gimme It here, and I have the great pleasure of being in McKinney, Texas, and I have some wonderful guests. We don't have Evito here or John the Shy, but we have Gene the Flash all the way over from where?
Dangerfield, Texas.
Dangerfield. It took you a couple hours to get here?
Two and a half.
And we're also in the home shop of
Todd Payne and Lazy Dog Typewriters. Quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. It's where we all begin. Trademark.
Boy, that's like a TV commercial, in fact.
Someday maybe, yeah.
Well, what's really cool is that right now we've been talking for the past hour. We probably, if we had just gotten that on audio,
we thought you were recording, David. Thanks for dropping the ball on that one.
Well, let's just jump into it. Let's go into the deep end. Todd, how did you get started with Lazy Dog Typewriters?
Well, I have you guys to thank for that in many ways, because I got started in typewriters because of nostalgia, I think, as a lot of folks might do. I was trying to find an Olympia typewriter that my mother had owned and that I had used to write my college applications back in the late 80s. And of course, my dad had probably given it away or thrown it away at a garage sale, and it was missing when I was looking for it. So I started looking for one, and then around that time, I heard about this typewriter group called Austin Typewriter Inc. I don't even know who referred me to Austin Typewriter Inc. And I'm like, well, I'm not in Austin. I'm in McKinney. I can't join that. And lo and behold, I did. And they were having some event in Denton, which turns out to be my hometown. So it was fate. And my son, Kevin, had his Cub Scout Pinewood Derby that particular day. So we went to a Pinewood Derby, and then we rolled right out of that into the January 2019 Lone Star Letter Writers, Austin Typewriter Inc. joint fabulous type-in. And what an absolute pleasure and treat that was to see all of a sudden so many typewriters, so many wonderful people there. And Kevin and Katie and my mother, who we brought along with us, attended. And one of my favorite memories is seeing a picture that was snapped by I don't know who, David, which now I need to know. I need the original print of that so we can blow that up and put that in our family lore. But of my mom and my daughter, both in white coats, appropriately enough, typing away on a typewriter. It's just so precious. It really speaks to me of one of the things that is most powerful for me about typewriters. It's not just nostalgia, but it's connecting generations across time with these wonderful devices.
And that photo spoke so much to me. I mean, after I took it, I didn't really think of it at the time. And then when I was home, uploaded that, I immediately contacted Everett. And I'm like, I don't even remember taking these pictures, because I do that. I just randomly moving around so much. And I click, 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 click. And when that picture kept, I said, there's something unique about this little girl and the grandma. And then I, not realizing that was your mother and your daughter. That's how we all kind of connected.
It was really special. I mean, and Kevin, who's his own little Gabfest, he got interviewed on the radio. So he's on KRLD. So somewhere there's a snippet of Kevin. And Kevin is explaining to people how to make an exclamation point, and you know, it's just so funny to have him make the radio and have such a sweet picture. I actually bought my second and third typewriter ever bought from Glenn Crookston. And I remember talking to Typewriter Minutes, who I had just met, because I had been watching his fabulous videos. And I was asking him, well, who's this Glenn Crookston guy? Is he trustworthy? I mean, is this guy going to take advantage of me? I'm just like a babe in the woods showing up with all this typewriters. All these wolves are going to devour me. You know, I don't know anything about typewriters. And he's like, oh, yeah, if Glenn sells it, it's a good deal. So I ended up buying a, appropriately enough, and sort of with some, foreshadowing, I ended up buying a Brother. I think it was an Opus 899, and then also an Olympia SM3, which happens to have math and science keys on it, which is kind of neat. And that got me started. And, of course, I got great prices from Glenn. No one can compete with him, darn him, and his ability to find typewriters in every shop in Texas.
Well, he's got the luxury of he travels a lot.
Traveling banker, I know.
Yeah, and so he's all over the place. And, you know, I go backwards in time, and I think Denton Typewriter, Type-N, was a focal point for everything. It was kind of the springboard, because that's where I met a lot of you guys, which led on later to Gene. You went off and had a Type-N.
We did. The following year, we had Marilyn Arnaud and I. We hosted a Type-N in Winsboro, Texas, and that was just last year in October. And you guys came up for it from Austin.
And it was so cold that day. Mm. And I was in shorts.
Of course.
And it was a wonderful day. I mean, we have never hosted a type-in. Denton was our first experience at anything like this. And then one of the podcasts you guys did was on hosting type-ins and tips to do. So I actually sat and transcribed that, mm-hmm. uploaded it to ATI, because that helped us. Because we printed it off after I typed it, because I needed something tactile. I couldn't just trust my memory after listening to the podcast, so I wanted a transcript.
But the good thing about your type-in, and then there was one in Wimberley, and then I know, Todd, you've had several now.
No, just one, yeah.
Oh, just that one?
One got canceled.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah. That COVID canceled.
But you had that one here.
January, right?
Yeah, in McKinney. Yeah.
In McKinney, and you also wore shorts, and it did snow that day, so you're well informed. You made a high impression on the shop owner when she said, "Who's the dude in shorts?" So that was at the graphite store in downtown McKinney.
I bought some really cool stuff, but you had a really good showing of people for an event that
a first typing. Yeah. It's the best typing I've ever held. We had it, and I try to define success, you know, before you begin. And I thought, well, I don't know, 20 or 30 people show up, that'd be nice. And I don't know, we maybe had 100 people over the course of the whole day. And
a wider range of ages, too. There was kids all the way up to older folks.
We did. And we had, you know, it wasn't just people who had seen promotions online. It was people off of street traffic, which was kind of fun. And one of the funnest things, I mean, besides meeting people for real, because I had met them at some of them at the Type-In in Denton, but seeing and having gotten to know, like, Typewriter Minutes a little bit better, and then seeing Typewriter Justice show up, Charlie, and Cody Ross came in, and seeing them just, like, you know, just, I don't know, just clicked. It's just so fun to make the ephemeral, ethereal, I guess, connection from Facebook to have people, and Gene and John the Shy and you as well, because I'd seen you, but I didn't really talk to you at the Denton Type-In, and I always felt like these guys are the real heavy hitters, they're royalty, you know, and I'm just kind of on the side, and I never intended to become a starring figure or anything, not like I am now, but
let me add on that is, I always tell people that I meet, I'm like, I always feel like, who am I? I mean, I meet these people like you and Gene and Glenn and Typewriter Minutes, Typewriter Justice, all these different people I've met at Herman's. I'm like, I get more excited seeing them than I would if I met Tom Hanks, for example.
Yeah, well, I get a little bit more excited than meeting Tom Hanks. Sorry, Typewriter Minutes. But
I guess I would, but I mean, but I have more in common, I guess, is what
I'm looking you could
for.
Talk to them. You could talk to them, and Tom Hanks, you might be like, so how was COVID? You know, enjoy that much?
Shimmy, shimmy, coca pop, shimmy, shimmy, rock.
Yeah, you know, I like Jill versus Volcano. Was there anyone any better? That was your high watermark.
Wilson! Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, that's what was so magical to just sort of bond with people right away, and it was magical to have so many people, and it was magical to have a typewriter giveaway, and God intervened, and just the right person won that typewriter we gave away, because it was to a woman and her daughter who were going to buy one anyway. It wasn't a good business move, but they were going to buy it anyway, And then they won that typewriter, and they were almost in tears because they were so overjoyed and shocked. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I am so happy that this typewriter is going to them, with Citation 88. And
it was so funny that just before they won, I was sitting next to them. They were looking at one that they were considering buying. And I said, well, you know, and I was a little hesitant.
Hold off for the drawing. Don't buy anything.
The same feeling that you had when she won, I was like, what are the odds that this person who was really wanting to buy one ended up winning?
No, so and there were 100 names in that, you know, jug of names to pull out. So, you know, things happen.
And your daughter, Katie, actually picked out the winning names. So that was kind
of
cute.
Then there was this pause afterwards. I know we're reliving the greatest highlights of a type, and you weren't there. But it really was wonderful. And that it kind of emphasizes that what Austin Typewriter Inc. does and what typewriters do, in a sense, are they help connect people. And that's, to me, that's the mystery and the mystique of typewriters, and that's what I try to capture, honestly, when I do sell typewriters, is that experience, that idea of harnessing creativity, of helping people express themselves. Some people are better in verbal, some people are better in writing, some people are better in both. And so typewriters help people unleash that pent-up creativity, and it just is a catharsis in a literal sense of being able to just flow out and give voice to what they've been thinking and in a way that's personal to them and to connect with other people. So that's the magic of typewriters is that. You know, that's why they're not lawnmowers, right? The same vintage is the idea. It's just a machine. But these are machines that help you be more creative. These are machines that can help you find your inner voice. And that's what's magical about them.
The Typens also help bring people into the typewriter world, because there were many people when we were telling some people in Winsboro were, this is what we want to do, and they were looking at us like we're crazy. Who uses a typewriter? They showed up at the type-in. We had over 100 people there also. They were amazed, and they loved it. And so many people that came in who probably never would have even thought about having a typewriter, they came in, they sat down, we had activities, we had typing tests. We also gave away one, and a young girl won it. And she had told her dad, he came up to me afterwards and said, she was the one out of my kids who said she really wanted a typewriter. So, you know, it's really nice when you can do something like that. And like you said, bring the generations together. I think it also just brings people into the typewriter world. And you don't look so crazy to your friends, because they look at you when you're kind of crazy and you say, I collect typewriters. I mean, it's not like, you know, you collect teapots.
Well, and it's like that.
Or typewriter teapots.
Or typewriter teapots.
Hey, bringing them together.
And in that same notion, it's like the little girls that y'all mentioned, the mm-hmm. one at your event, there was another couple of kids, it was a brother and sister, who so much wanted a typewriter, and they didn't win.
Right.
I just like, man, they've got to win something. So I actually had a typewriter that I gave to them, or gifted, I like to say. And their mom was so ecstatic, excited. She was like, oh, my God, this is their own for real? And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to do that. And that's what I love about what we do with you. And
I also did that with another family there. And I know them through the farmer's market that I was selling at. And they really, really wanted to win one, and they didn't. So that's who I gave. I think the brother JP one that I had, I gave them to them.
Well, as a dad, I completely applaud that, and as a salesman, I condemn it. Stop it. Stop giving away stuff.
Sell. Well, let's turn the page a little bit. Talk to me about how Lazy Dog Typewriters got started, and what's your, you know, your theme,
what's
your
my
idea,
stick? What's
your
my
stick?
Niche? Yeah, well, Lazy Dog Typewriters got started out of absolute, total, and sheer panic. When you buy 300 typewriters in a year, outpacing the immortal David Torres and your typewriter acquisition in the first year you've ever bought any, and you can no longer park your car in your garage, and your wife can barely open her car door, you suddenly realize, I had either better turn the corner or I'm going to turn into a hoarder. How can I start selling these things? And I better learn how to try to fix them so I can sell the ones that I have that are broken. But in another nutshell, I would say it was just sort of, we started forth with courage undaunted and wisdom quite limited, because I've learned a lot of things along the way in terms of like what typewriters are good to buy, what typewriters are good to sell, what typewriters are hard to work on, how do you work on typewriters? But it just was an evolutionary process where I thought, you know, this would be fun. I happened to have a friend who was and is very creative, and she sold things on Etsy. And I had never heard of Etsy. It was one of those places I tried to ban, like Zulily in our household, which has somehow invaded us and we'll never be rid of. But not Etsy, it's great. But so I said, well, we'll have an Etsy shop. We'll create one, and however that works. And we listed an antique clock, I think, is the first thing we listed, just trying to see how we even made a listing. many months ago now. And I sold a lot of typewriters locally on Facebook Marketplace, as I think a lot of us do, because shipping typewriters is hard. And I never really wanted to ship a typewriter, but sort of out of necessity, I kind of had to, because when COVID came around, it was just like, I can't really meet people. And even right before then, I said, well, I guess I'll try it. You know, I'll try to reach that niche. And our niche, you know, it's challenging because my typewriters are probably priced more than the average listener in Austin Typewriter is going to want to pay. But I really try to serve the people, and they turn out to be bi-coastal, it seems. Nobody in the Midwest buys typewriters. But on the East Coast and the West Coast, people are looking for typewriters. They just want one. They don't have any. And they don't know anything about fixing them. They don't really want to learn how to fix them. They just want to have a typewriter because they want to express themselves. And that's
and one that works.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Yes. Having somebody
that
who
is... That
was
me 30 typewriters ago.
Right. Well, that's the goal. Please come back. Is to get people who, you know, the service I provide, the value I add, is that I do work quite hard on these machines, and I try to make them perfect. They're not always perfect. They're probably never perfect is more accurate. But they work. They're fully functional, and I call them serviced. And there's a whole huge kerfuffle, I guess you could say, about what is a service typewriter, what's a reconditioned typewriter, what's a restored typewriter. And Dave is the closest thing we've got to a lawyer sitting here, so we could seek his opinion. But I don't want to go down that route. I just want to say, listen, I want to sell you a fully functional typewriter that works out of the box. It's going to be extremely well packaged when I send it to you. You can have it's an issue of trust. And it's been so gratifying to me to have the Etsy shop be successful because I have, you know, I really appreciate the positive reviews I get when people are like, I can't believe it got shipped so fast, and I can't believe it was so well packaged, and, you know, what am I going to do with these 20 pounds of bubble wrap you shipped it in, you know, later on?
Well, let's talk about just the quality of your service, though, because I can speak firsthand, and so can Gene, because we've actually gotten typewriters from
you. Two happy customers in the same spot at the same time.
At your type-in that you had, several months back.
Yeah.
There was a typewriter that I was sitting at that I'm like, man, there's just something about that machine that was so amazing that I wanted it, but then I thought Gene might want it too. So she ended up buying it.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
Yeah, but it was what was the model on it?
It's a 510 signature.
Yeah. Signature 510.
Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, I've got to have one of those. And then, of course, you said, oh, well, I've got four more of those at home.
Yeah.
So I said, well, save one for me, and next time around I'll be able to have some way to ship it or have it transported. I'll do, which I do. And it's an amazing, perfect machine. You cleaned it really well. Everything functional on it. And it types like it just came out of the box.
That's what I was going to say. They almost seem new. They really are.
Well, it helps to start with good base material, and that's one of the things I've learned is I've learned about different types of machines and which ones I like, and you know, you try to anticipate your customers' needs and what they're going to want. And so, I mean, there are more exotic, there are better, there are more typewriters with mystique, but for my money, you'll never beat a Brother. Whether it's the Signature 510, which I think is the greatest sleeper typewriter probably ever made, because it's just an office-quality typewriter. It's bigger, it's heavier, but it's just so nice to type on. Down to the JP1, which I absolutely love, and there's a million different variants of the JP1, but I particularly, probably my all-time favorite would be the Kmart 100 in teal. It's my wife's favorite color, so it's always good to pick that one. It's just a simple, great machine. I kind of like machines that don't have tabs. Once you become sort of, I'm not going to call myself a repairman, but once you become a servicer of typewriters, you're like, please, can we get rid of anything we don't need that's going to break? Do you really even need a backspace? Come on, I don't want that. Come on, can we just cut that out and not use it? But, oh, fixed tabs, great. Every 10 is perfect. You don't need to set your own stupid tabs.
I don't think I've ever used the tab. I go 1, 2, 3, 4.
I know. Well, you know, and then later Smith Coronas, they have a paragraph button, which actually is kind of cool. But it's like a little baby tab that goes 5 spaces. But the long story short is Brother typewriters are sort of ho-hum to many collectors and maybe to many listing. But, man, to a new person, it's got soft rubber. It works. They are very hard to break when you ship them. They're just wonderful.
Well, and they type impeccably. I mean,
yeah.
Like I said, the one that you got for me, I mean, it types better than any machine I've got.
And I think that's, because it's a testimony. There's a reason why Brother sold 10 million typewriters between 65 and 80, I think, and there's a sticker. And once their stickers are on, they never come off because whatever they put on that adhesive is incredibly strong. But there's a reason they sold 10 million. There's a reason why they came to dominate. And there's a reason why the Brother business is still in business. And Smith Corona, I think, is selling stickers or something. Because, you know, they make printers. I have a Brother printer, I think, too. But they just made really good products. They were engineering. When you work on them, all the screws are the same size. Things are simplified. Design elements carry over from one to the other. They're easy to take apart. it just worked. It's very excellent Japanese engineering. They were trying to produce just like directly analogous to the cars that were made of that era. The Japanese were taking over market share from the Americans because they are lower labor cost, but also because they really designed quality, and they really stuck to it. And that's not to say I don't love other typewriters too. I mean, a Model 5 Smith Corona is one of the best. It's fantastic to work on. They're consistently reliable, wonderful. The Olympias, I mean, they're wonderful too, but they're just so hard to find nowadays too, at least for me. And they all suffer from the same quickly diagnosed problem of the squashed washers. But they're wonderful machines too, and the Olympia is my first love. And John the Shy infected me with this disease of loving Erica's and these other exotic German machines. And you haven't asked, but I embarked on a crazy quest in January, perfect timing, to seek out on eBay in Germany all these exotic typewriters. So I started looking at Rheinmetall, Supermetall, Somtron, Princess, blah, blah, blah.
Are you finding, though, that as European Germany, whether it be Germany or other European countries, are you finding that people on that side of the ocean are starting to sense, hey, Americans might want these, we need to jack up the prices, or, hey, maybe it's something beyond just culture differences that they may not want to sell to us as much anymore?
No,
are they trying to hang on to their typewriters?
You can find a cranky German if you want to look hard enough, you'll find one. There are a lot, I'll just put, without going into all the details, there are a lot of obstacles that you don't know about that you have to overcome just to buy a typewriter in Germany and then get it shipped over to the United States. That's obstacle upon obstacle.
And well, especially now with COVID. And
I have restricted. Three typewriters that I have bought and paid for 3-4 months ago and paid the full freight, shipping, everything, that are just sitting there. And I'm just like, well, a couple Erica's, you know, and I would love to have them, and they're just sitting there, and I'm a little worried I'm never going to see them. So, you know, as a business investment right now, I can't say that was a great move. But I would say, I mean, it's just interesting. That's like the broader question is the typewriter market. And, you know, we all troll around looking for things, but good Lord, you can't kick over a rock apparently in the Midwest without finding an Olympia sitting there in pristine condition for $5. But in Texas, certainly, and probably more so in the South, the East Coast, West Coast, there's a market there. Like, I can sell to that market. I'll never sell a typewriter in Kansas because I guess they're just kicking over typewriters in the cornfield because they're just laying around everywhere. But in Texas, I think we threw them away. And so they're more rare, and now there's a resurgence. In Germany, I don't think they have the same mystique. So there is an arbitrage opportunity, if you will, even with all the shipping costs and everything over. And that's what I try to do is, you know, arbitrage, right? You know, get my Gordon Gekko on and try to find an opportunity where I can add value and make money. And so far I haven't. I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic, we'll say, that the 48, 49 remaining typewriters I have invested and imported from Germany will appeal to the collector market and to the general market in general. And that's the thing. The market is very local. The supply is very local. The prices are very local. People would laugh at you for the prices you try to get in Kansas that you're trying to get in New Jersey or California. Again, the service, the value that I provide, the service for the machine, I think is sort of universal, you know, and I'd like to think it adds at least $100 to any machine I try to sell. And I think that if I paint it, which is a whole nother line of work and a whole nother discussion, that adds another at least $75 to $100 to the value of the typewriter.
What are people looking for in your
opinion? It's again, so my clients, probably with the exception of Jean, God bless her, are not hardcore collectors. They are, I want one typewriter. So you have to keep that in mind, because what appeals to us as collectors, ooh, that's a different model. That's not very common. That's an Oliver typewriter that may have been resold as a Voss that nobody knows about, that's really pretty and is super cool. Or, ooh, it has a pharmaceutical, like we're all getting ready to go type out drugstore labels. Like, nobody's going to use that, but it's cool to us as a typewriter to find the eccentric, to find the unusual. My customer is someone who wants to use a machine, someone who doesn't even know how to do capital letters, right? A lot of times. And you're like, oh, no, you hit the shift key, and there's a lock button that locks it in place.
Ooh.
You're right. And so you sometimes have to laugh, or you're like, do you know anything about typewriters? Because I used to sell them all at the nearby Kroger, the Starbucks at Kroger, and I would spend half an hour giving the show and tell spiel, and I had my little spiel down, and I would tell them how they could send email because they had an at key. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Or, oh, they didn't use the number one back in the 1960s, you know? And they just nod their heads and they're like, oh, okay. And like, no, they just use a lowercase L.
I think the cutest thing I think it was at your type in one of the two, is a little kid was like, oh, look, a hashtag mark.
Right, exactly. Yeah, or, you know, pound, everything. It's just so funny. Whatever you want it to be, kid, just buy it. But it's this idea that the customer is what sells. Back to your main point is what sells is bright colors. I mean, if you're ready to be a competitor to Lazy Dog Typewriters, go find yourself some bright colored typewriters from bright colored Brother JP1s, and then we'll have a death match.
Well, let's talk about that, though, because you do service for customers, and then there are collectors out there, and then there are people who are just looking to buy a typewriter. What does it do to you as someone who services and sells when somebody contacts you and says, hey, I like this certain typewriter, but I want it to be psychedelic purple? Does that bother you to convert that from an original color, especially if it's a more vintage machine, or you know, it could be a plastic machine for all I care? Does that bother you, or do you do what the customer wants?
Well, as long as they're paying, you know, tell me how high you want me to jump. No, I mean, within reason, yes. So this is another hot button issue, to paint or not to paint. I generally think that if somebody wants to paint a typewriter, that they should do it. It's their property if they own it, and if they're selling it to somebody, they should do it. Now, if you're going to paint a typewriter, I think you should always do your best when you're trying to do anything in any business. So the only caveats I would say, like, you can do something or you should do something, right? It's like the old Ratatouille, everyone can cook, but maybe not everyone should cook, is if you have a rare typewriter, a rare color, a rare color combination, let's have respect for that history. My favorite color typewriters to paint are ones that are damaged. Honestly, they're scratched or there's some way that they're flawed, you know, so, and I can enhance them by painting them. That's my favorite typewriter to paint. Or they're so common that no one is going to have any heartache that one of the 10 million brothers that were made between 61 and 80 that I painted one pink that started out sort of a okay blue-ish color. So no one's going to have any heartache over that. But if you paint a brown SM3, for example, just to pick one randomly.
Why would anybody want a brown SM3?
I don't know why would anyone paint a brown SM3? I don't know. But if you did, you know some people are going to have some heartache about it because apparently brown is rare, and I didn't know that either. So now I'm looking for one, and I've never seen one. But there's one on Facebook Marketplace in Dallas. I think he wanted $500.
There's one at my house.
That's right. And of course, Gene, who we've already mentioned, is the world's most eclectic and focused like a laser beam collector, has one.
In Philadelphia, it's worth $50.
Exactly. But a long rambling answer short, yes, it's totally fine to paint a typewriter. Do refrain from painting one that is rare and has some vintage, you know, like painting Tom Hanks's gifted typewriter with polka dots is going to be kind of crappy. And when you do paint one, I would challenge you this, don't do a crappy job, unless it's your own and who cares, it's yours. But if you're selling somebody something, make sure you put that extra effort and love into it. Make sure that if you paint over the logos, make sure you've done it after giving it some thought, because you decided you didn't like how the masking would look if you had to, or it was just too hard to, you know, paint between the E and the R and the L and Sterling. That's fine. But, you know, put some thought into it. Don't just blast it with your spray painter and then move on without painting the ribbon color selector dots.
Well, let's talk about customer experience with Lazy Dog Typewriters. Gene, when I came in today, you were looking at a machine that Todd had actually acquired for you and serviced?
Well, yes, he bought it, and then I bought it from him. And I don't know if this is one of your recent ones.
This is one
from
of the
Germany?
50, yes, the yes. 50 survivors, Stalag 14 escapee.
I bought a Gossen Tippa, and my original plan was to get the Groma Calibri. And I passed on that one before, but Todd was the one that bought it. So then it was kind of like buyer's remorse or non-buyer's remorse. So then in talking with other collectors, someone said the Gossen Tippa was better than the Groma Calibri. So I was on the lookout for that. Todd happened to have one, and it's beautiful. It's a nice condition. It's perfect condition. So I came out here today to get that, and then also to bring up two typewriters that I'm going to give to you, David, to bring to Cody so he can look at them and repair them and clean them for me.
What was your experience in acquiring that typewriter, and what did you do to it? Anything to service it? What was your...
Yeah, well, the Gossen is inherently a fantastic typewriter, just fantastic German engineering. It is a better typewriter than the Calibri, even though I own both. I own multiple copies of each one. The Calibri is cooler looking, and it has the cool movie to tie in, and they're awesome, and they're really thin.
I agree with you. They're great to look at. They're like a Ferrari, but they're horrible to type on.
Well, see, you're hard. You hate my Royalites, too, so you just disqualified yourself to comment.
Oh, those I
but
loathe.
It is far, far better
them,
than
I
Royalite.
Loathe them.
The Calibri types perfectly fine. It's wonderful. It's at least as good as the Skywriter. You know, it's an ultra portable, right? That's a different category of typewriter. The Gossen, I don't know. It just types really, really well. It feels really well. The impression is really, really clear. The whole experience is great. Even the manual is cute. You've got the cute little Gossen guy. You know, everything just seems to have been done with a level of care that just shrieks of mid-century, right? Of mid-century quality, and like you feel like you're on a train with Cary Grant and you have your typewriter right there. And that's the ambiance that I'm trying to create or partake in. Now, what happened when it came that the platen knob was cracked in half and I had to fix it, you know, and thankfully this thing just soaks up super glue like you wouldn't believe in plastic epoxy. And I had to swip them around because I figured, well, let's put the cracked one on the left side and then put the one on the right and it's the one that's not cracked. And so that, you know, that kind of stuff happens. The case, the feet were completely gone, you know, the rubber was gone. So I replaced them with brand new soft springy rubber. And man, that you wouldn't think that really matters, that kind of stuff, but back to the Royalites, it is amazing and it's astounding the difference, the improvement that having a stable platform can provide to these typewriters. Now, of course, if you could, the first thing you'd want to replace is the platens. And that's beyond my ability, and I have not yet done that. But someday, maybe, I will replace the rubber on my torpedoes. When you put new feet on these things, it really makes an unbelievable difference in how stable and how it feels. Because the typing touch is impacted by when you press down on it. And if your typewriter is sliding around on the table, it's going to not feel good. And it just messes everything up. So I replaced that. I cleaned the case. I mean, I cleaned out everything. I used the Dwayne Jensen. I am Dwayne Jensen's honorary apprentice, because I adopt his methods, and it's lacquer thinner, which gets you higher than a kite in a garage, let me assure you, and then mineral spirits and a nice super duper air compressor and just elbow grease, you know, elbow leather, shoe leather, I don't know, just
and,
working on
and
it.
And for those of you who don't know Dwayne Jensen by his
Phoenix typewriter.
There you go.
Yeah, he is a fantastic, man, right after you watch all 25 of my videos, go watch all 3,000 of his. He has really wonderful how-to videos. It would be such a treat. It's like, it's so silly, but I feel like what a treat it would be to go to Phoenix to see Dwayne Jensen and to talk with him and to learn from him at the feet of the master, as it were, if you will. See if I can snatch the pebble out of his hand.
And even some of his most basic stuff is just like so crucial.
Yeah.
To your typing experience.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, here's how you replace a draw band, you know? And you're like, well, I better watch that again because I got to replace a draw band. It's a different one. Or, oh, wow, Smith Corona has a neat little way you can manually crank that up. You know, if you just bend this little tab here, then you can add tension to the draw band really easily. Wow, I didn't know that. I never would have known that. Or, oh, you just tie a loop around that one instead of just trying a knot or any number of things. And he's just so truly kind to share that information with other people, because this is his proprietary stuff and he shares it with us, all of us, as if we are, you know, not trying to sell typewriters ourselves. And that is incredibly kind of him, and I cannot praise him enough for keeping that knowledge alive and sharing it, because he's like one of three or four. I mean, John Lavery, I know, is another brilliant typewriter guy, and
he's down in Australia.
He's an Australian, yeah. So you know, and they're getting older, and so Dwayne is just old enough. He's about 10 years older than me, I think. Which
so that
is plenty
would make
old.
You 35, he's 45.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just so nice as part of that intergenerational transfer to share that information. And Cody, I mean, Cody's a better mechanic than me. He's fantastic. He came down, he was at our type in, he jumped in, and I was like, wow, hey, Cody, can you help me get this thing done? This lady wants her typewriter fixed on the spot, and I need to catch a breath or something. And he just jumped right in. He's working on Vinnie Minchillo's machines.
That's the great thing I love about type-ins as well, whether it be in Winsboro or here in McKinney or Denton, is the people that attend are so kind.
Yes.
You know, I when the comments I get from folks privately, they send me messages and said, man, that is the most amazing experience I've ever had. I was kind of apprehensive when I first got there. I wasn't sure what to expect. I was like, are they going to judge me? And everybody's so welcoming, and you know, people leave having made a new friend.
Yeah.
That was my experience too at Denton, because that was my first type-in that I went to. And I was amazed and just blown away that everyone was so friendly. And I felt at home, even though I knew nobody. But I just went with Marilyn, and we just went there and thought we would check it out. And I felt at home. And it's nice to put a face and a voice to the written word that we see in the ATI group. And that's, I think, is a huge benefit of holding type-ins.
And I would just reflect that back to the Austin typewriter group, and I think it's fair to say that David certainly is the heart, if not the heart and the soul of the group. He's the voice, the face, the guy who makes the little videos saying, hey, write me a letter. I mean, that it touches me. And I wrote him a letter, and it only took him about 3 months to respond to my letter.
I had 35 people that I had sent me either send me an address.
The truth is, he gave me a false address when I typed, and I wrote him a letter. He gave me a false address. It took the USPS 2 months to return it to me because I left off the word drive. And I guarantee you, I didn't leave the word drive off or road, whatever street.
No, but no, I don't think you put my apartment number
on
there.
I did. No, I totally did because you had moved to a new apartment.
No, that's right. That was somebody else that had sent me.
Yeah, one of your other fan mail letters.
One of the other ones didn't put the apartment and it went back. And I forgot who that was.
2 months to have it returned.
But that's weird that with the word drive, it went all the way back to you.
With the zip code, everything. You know, come on. What do you want out of me? But more seriously, David is the heart and soul. And, you know, just to say, hey, you can write me a letter, or to be open about, hey, I'm kind of down about this COVID stuff, or, hey, I need to buy a new snorkel that looks even dorkier than the one I normally wear when I go swimming in Barton Creek.
Well, thanks for that, but I'm gonna also mirror that. I think the greatness of the group is, look, you guys. You're one of the number one contributors. Gene, you're also a number of...
When am I going to get my paycheck for all these posts?
I don't know, man, but I love that when people write me privately and say, hey, man, I just really love this group. It's one of the best experiences. You know, especially if they're introverted or have issues being social with people, they feel like they're part of something. Like, you know, I like to boast that we have a 35% female participation in our group, which is, I think, a good thing.
That's good.
You know, no, but we do have a lot of ladies that are participants in that. Mm-hmm. You know, Jean, Amanda, I mean, Marilyn, they contribute into the conversations every single day. You know, yeah. And so it's nice to have such a variety of people from all walks of life. You know, that are
and
constantly
not just Texas and not just Austin.
Oh, exactly. We have people from way outside of Austin. I mean, they wrap around the country and all across the planet. I mean. Yeah. That's what's really cool. I was like, oh, somebody from Australia is chiming in, or somebody from England's chiming in, you know.
Well,
or the
and
UK.
I found it through Allison in Oklahoma. No, Kansas. Where does Allison live?
She's in Allison Dischinger. She's in Kansas.
And she, I met her through the main group, the collectors group.
Yeah.
And she noticed I was from Texas. So she reached out to me privately and said, you might want to, you know, join Austin Typewriter Inc.
And I find people that, in the street, John and I were meeting to swap the last time we didn't get your machine up here. I'm so sorry. But we were about to leave and we're coming around the corner and there's a guy sitting. He was a street poet. Mm-hmm. And John and I flipped around and started chatting with him, took a picture and told him about the group. And he joined. And, you know, that's what I love about ATI is that you don't have to be somebody who's constantly communicating. Because I know that people are out there, they're watching. They're not people who want to type a lot on messengers and stuff. But they are watching because once in a while I'll get an email from somebody who's never even mentioned it. And they go, hey, how do I get hold of such and such person? Because I'm looking to buy that typewriter they're trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And it's nice. I mean, it's sort of a mutual admiration society. But, you know, it's nice that this group, it allows you to post things for sale. And I'm always very, I don't want to spam people. And now you guys are always like, oh, post more. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be like, I want to be genuine. You know, I mean, this group inspires you to be genuine. You don't want to be,
you don't want to be that
sales
guy.
I'm like, listen, I mean, my customers are probably not in the Austin Typewriter group. Other than you two, and God bless you, you're welcome anytime. It's folks who are willing to pay me for servicing the machine and who I want to get paid for them. And not collectors like Everett or whatever, or Glenn, who has every single thing on earth and got it for $5. So that's fine. I like coming to this brotherhood, sisterhood, this fraternity, if you will, of inspirational and like-minded people. And, you know, segueing a little bit, you know, you talk about watching things. You know, Kevin and Katie and I make videos for the Lazy Dog Typewriter's YouTube channel, and we proudly smashed through the 100 subscriber barrier recently, and you know, we gave away our, basically like, hey, please rob us, here's our garage full of typewriters tour. But it's been such a joy to have that as well, to have that, because these are turning into our home videos, our family home videos. And honestly, I look back at some of the videos I made a year ago, and I'm like, I would never put so much work in a typewriter video again, ever. And there's got like 45 views, and you're like, I will never do this again. But I'm proud that I did it, and I'm like, you know what? Those things don't rot on the shelf. They're still going to be there, and maybe someday when we have 200 subscribers, maybe they'll have 100 views, and people can learn the entire history of Royal and everything else, and movie references and little jokes and everything else. But I encourage you to come look at Lazy Dog Typewriters. We won't sell you anything on our YouTube channel, but we hope you enjoy learning the history, because we modeled ourselves on a prime example, and that is Typewriter Minutes. We almost called ourselves Typewriter Seconds, actually, because one, we intended to be shorter, which is an impossibility for me, and two, we thought, well, we're following in the footsteps of typewriter minutes, so we'll be typewriter seconds. But I was persuaded that Lazy Dog Typewriters was the better way to go.
And how did you come up with the name Lazy Dog Typewriters?
Well, of course. I mean, well, first of all, Kevin, he's looking around trying to tell you the story. Unfortunately, he's off. You know, obviously the sentence, the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. I forget what you call that now. Is it a pangram? I forgot where it's a sentence that has all the letters. I think it is a pangram, yes. I knew that once, but there was a lacquer thinner involved, so I don't remember much of anything anymore. And, you know, everybody on earth was the fox. Everybody wants to be the fox. So I'm like, well, heck, I'm going to be the opposite. I'm going to go countercurrent here. I'm going to be the lazy dog. And since lazy just so fits so perfectly, my whole personality and everything, I thought, well, that'll be perfect, and kind of more of a humble thing. We're the lazy dog, and he's the one who's getting jumped over all the time. So I thought it would be fun, and we came up with a logo, and it's every single – I do laugh because it's a subversive thing. Every single person who's typing out their typewriters is now promoting my page, which I enjoy.
Free advertising.
Free ads. If only they knew I existed, that would be really popular.
Can y'all put a link on there somehow?
That's right. TM, baby, TM. That's why we had to have the taglines, where we all began. TM. I would just again shout out to the lovely collection of talent we have in this group. So, Peter Stewart, if you need to know anything about a typeface, and don't call it a font, but a typeface, man, that guy is amazing. He lives for typefaces. He also lives for paper. Some people don't know that. And, you know, watermarks, and what does 25% cotton rag mean, and what, you know, what is laid versus bond, and all this stuff. It's so fascinating, you know. And Charlie Justice, man, that guy is just so passionate and fun to watch his videos. And, of course, Typewriter Minutes, man, you cannot meet a nicer guy than Scott. And just what a wonderful person that these all are in this little group, and they're all passionate about what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree with you, though. We have a really neat group of folks. And the ATC group, you know, those are the kings to me. There's so much great depth of knowledge. If you have a question about anything, you can just drop a question in there, and you're going to get 10 responses that are going to come from every different angle as to responding to your answer, I mean, to your question. And in our own group, most of our members are members of both. I think what people like about our group, ATI, is that we are smaller. It gives you a little bit more of a voice, a little bit more of a presence. And plus, we do allow people to sell, but, you know, people do like you do. They don't want to be overbearing in that regard. But it's just, I really enjoy, I actually just started becoming a collector to meet people.
Yeah.
I started doing a podcast because I told the guys, I said, you know, I used to do a TV show, and I thought I'd like to maybe do something. And I thought we'll do one or two, because everybody had been telling me, oh, we've only done one or two podcasts in the past, and then people quit. But I just really enjoy having so many different variety of folks in our group. And now it's so exciting for me that you're doing what you're doing, because you're a big contributor to typewriters in the country. You know, you might not think that.
I don't think that.
But people who have a lot less knowledge than you, they do look to you. They watch your videos. They will buy from you. They'll learn from you. I learn every day. I mean, there's so much about typewriters I don't know. And I love chatting with people who have the knowledge. Even though you say you've only been doing this a little while, when you start talking about, you know, just off of this podcast, we were walking through your collection in the other room, and you were just telling us so much. I'm like, man, why am I not recording this?
Well, I thank you very much. And it is just being involved in it and being passionate about something, right? I don't care if you're passionate about weird typewriter tea kettles. Whatever it is, have passion for it. And that's what's so fun. That, in a nutshell, is what is about awesome. People are passionate about typewriters. They're passionate about communication. They're passionate about all these, this nexus of ideas that come together. And it's just a real treat to be able to meet that. And we haven't even talked about, like, you know, I'm passionate about Gromas. I'm passionate about Calibris. It's more about ourselves, and that really speaks volumes about we love each other. We love this hobby and the people in it and the people you meet. I don't let strange, random people come to my house, you know, and I can't wait to have you guys over again. So it's truly a joyous thing. It's something that brings joy to our lives in a dark period of time, and let's not forget that this is something that brings us joy and that we can focus on that as opposed to focus on negative things.
My last question is going to be, what's the future of Lazy Dog Typewriters? What do you have in the shelf, or whatever the term would be? What's coming for you? What do you have planned?
Someday, in a not too far future, I have a vision, sort of like Raising Arizona. I have a vision where I will be able to park two cars in my garage again.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't... I think Ashley talked about, oh, you've got this new career. And I'm like, it's not a career. it's a hobby. But, you know, I would really enjoy, you know, continuing to do this. I enjoy getting typewriters to people who have not used them, and that expression of excitement and enjoy. That brings me joy. The joy of fixing something mechanical, of having some secret knowledge, if you will, that I can make something work. And knowing it 2 years ago, I would have had absolutely no clue. That brings a lot of satisfaction. You know, I'm used to working in projects and previous careers where it's a long term or it's a massive project, so you don't get to see the immediate benefit of your result. But with a typewriter, you do. You either got the alignment fixed or you didn't, and it tells you right away. You either fixed the backspace or you didn't. So there's a lot of joy in doing that and having that tangible reward right away when you fix it. And of course, the agony of defeat when you can't fix it is also ever present. But I would enjoy getting rid of some of my collection, working it down, getting it to more manageable size, and then continuing the hunt. It's fun. We're all treasure hunters at heart, right? Ooh, I found that Hermes 3000, and it's not the boxy one, and the case still works. And or actually, it's a Hermes 2000, even better. I happen to have four of those. Go bet one. And it's like finding that treasure, finding something that someone else doesn't value, and you realize that it does have value. That black copper rock you're looking at actually is gold with some crust under it, and you can wipe it off, and it's pure gold, and you can make a ring out of it. And not just playing Minecraft. So that's what I try to do. As long as it keeps being fun, and as long as we got room to park the cars, then I hope Lazy Dog Typewriter will continue. We'll continue to make videos. And man, that's a hard task in its own, because everybody's made a video of every freaking typewriter out there. It's hard to find that, to walk down that gap, to find some angle or aspect that's interesting to people that Joe Van Cleve or Typewriter Minister or Typewriter Justice hasn't made a video on already. So we may be doing some dupes, but hopefully it'll be our own unique spin. You know, that's like the Signature 510. Nobody seemed to talk about it. Or this new Oliver I found that's really a Voss Privat. That's, no one knows what that is either. That might be fun to make a video on. But it's also fun just learning and interacting. And as long as we can do that, and as long as we can hang out with folks like you guys, it's net positive cash flow. We'll keep doing it.
Gene, you have any final thoughts on this podcast?
No, I just want to thank you for doing this and for doing all the podcasts too, because I truly enjoy listening to them. And I know whenever a new one comes out, I pop my earbuds in, I get on the treadmill, and that half hour, 45 minutes goes by really fast. So I know how much work you put into a lot of this, and I really...
You're the other guy.
You and John and Everett have started a group that I think is phenomenal. And it seems to be much more of a personal group, which I think is the appeal to a lot of people, even if you don't live in Austin.
Well, great. For those of you listening out there, you don't have to be in Texas to be a member. You can just join. I mean, we're here. We accept everybody. It's all about being inclusive. It's all about being diverse. It's all about being unique. And for me, it's the love of the typewriter. That's what I care about the most. Mm-hmm. When I do these podcasts, when I talk on Facebook, when I go do anything, it's to see the love of the typewriter is the most amazing thing. And I love that you're doing what you're doing. Any final thoughts with Lazy Dog Typewriters?
Well, God bless everybody. Quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. It's where we all begin. We really do. And we hope we can serve you guys. And if you want to see our machines, go to Etsy, Lazy Dog Typewriters, and you'll find us there.
All right. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Todd. And you're listening to Austin Typewriter Inc. podcast. Thank you for listening to the Austin Typewriter Inc. podcast. For more information about our group, please find us online at austintypewriterinc.com, or you can also visit us on Facebook and Instagram. Join us next time for another episode of Austin Typewriter Inc. May your type slugs always be clean.